What's up? We got a short message about how we should view the Word of God. And to do that, we're going to look at this word oracle, or the phrase oracles of God, because it's really important to study that to understand the attitude that we should have towards the scriptures. And so we're going to first start in the New Testament and look at the places where this phrase occurs, oracles or oracles of God. And then I'm going to show you something in the Old Testament that you might not know, which really should open your eyes to how we should view the scripture, so in the attitude that we should have. So let's get right into that. Acts chapter 7 verse 38 says, "This is he that was in the church in the wilderness with the angel which spake to him in the Mount Sinai," or Sinai, "with our fathers, which received the lively oracles to give unto us." Okay? So it says that they received the lively oracles to give to us. And as we'll see that in the other references in the New Testament, the phrase oracles or oracles of God is referring to the scriptures. So let's look at another verse in Romans chapter 3, verse 2. Okay, Romans chapter 3, verse 2 says, we'll start in verse 1. What advantage then hath the Jew, or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. Okay? Unto the Jews were committed the oracles of God. And this is talking about the Old Testament. They were given the law, but they were given the scriptures. Okay? And this is while the New Testament is being written. So they were given the scriptures, and it's called the oracles of God. Let's see another reference in Hebrews chapter 5. Verse 2. And then only one more after that before we go back to the old. Okay, Hebrews chapter 5, verse 2. Here we go. Hebrews 5, 2. Sorry, it's actually Hebrews 5:12. Hebrews 5:12, "For when the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as need milk and not of strong meat." Okay? So, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. And you can see clearly here that it's referring to the scriptures as the oracles of God. And it talks about the first principles of the oracles of God. They're first principles of scripture, right? So again, it's called oracles of God. Now, one more reference in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11. 1 Peter 4, verse 11 says, "If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God." Okay, so if you speak, make sure it's based in scripture, right? So from the oracles of God. Okay, so we got that phrase down. We see it used 4 times in the New Testament, and it's referring to the scriptures. Now, here's the question though. Why is it called the oracles of God? What does that even mean? Okay, and we have to go to the Old Testament to see where that word is used, oracle. And when we see what it means, it's actually going to give you more insight into the scriptures, okay? Into this phrase, why the scriptures are called the oracles of God. Okay, so we're going to go to the Old Testament. 1 Kings chapter 6, verse 16 is the first reference, okay? So we're going to turn back to 1 Kings 6, 16. Kings 6, verse 16, which says, "And he built 20 cubits on the sides of the house, both the floor and the walls, with boards of cedar. He even built them for it within, even for the oracle, even for the most holy place." Okay, so this is talking about the temple being built, right? And Solomon's temple, and look at what it says, that in the temple, they were building a place called the Oracle, even for the most holy place. So guess what? The most holy place in the temple is called the Oracle. You may know that, but you might not. Some people don't. And there's going to be more to this that you might not know or might not have thought about before. Okay? So it says, even for the Oracle, even for the most holy place. And then next, verse 19 in the same chapter says, and the Oracle he prepared in the house within to set there the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. Okay, so that's another important point. It says Oracle, most holy place, and then it says this is where the Ark of the Covenant was, in the Oracle. Okay, so then here's another verse in verse 23. Skip down to verse 23. And within the Oracle, he made two cherubims of olive tree, each 10 cubits high. Okay, 15 feet high, cherubims. But anyways, it says that within the Oracle, two cherubims. Okay, so Ark of the Covenant, two cherubims, all within the Oracle, which is the most holy place. Okay, so here's another reference is 1 Kings chapter 8. Let's turn over a little bit there to verse 6, 1 Kings 8, 6, which says, And the priests brought in the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord unto his place, into the Oracle of the house, to the most holy place. There it is again, used interchangeably, Oracle and most holy place. Oracle of the house to the most holy place, even under the wings of the cherubims. Okay, so it kind of ties it all together right there, that in the Oracle, the most holy place, the Ark of the Covenant is brought under the wings of the cherubims. Okay, and that puts it all together. Now, one more reference, and then I'm going to show you the significance of this, okay? So, 2 Chronicles chapter 5, verse 7. 2 Chronicles 5, 7. Oops. Come on now. 2 Chronicles 5, 7 says, and the priests brought in the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord unto his place, called it that again, to the Oracle of the house, into the most holy place, even under the wings of the cherubims. Okay, so I just wanted more than one witness of this saying the same thing. Okay, so we got this down, established, very solid. Okay, now I'm going to make some observations about this and points. But we can see clearly that the most holy place where the Ark of the Covenant is with the cherubims over it is called the Oracle of God. Okay, now why is that important? Well, first of all, we just went through all the references in the New Testament where the scriptures in the New Testament are called the oracles of God. And now we have the most holy place where the Ark of the Covenant is and the cherubims covering it. That's called the Oracle. So, what's the connection? Well, we'll take a look at the next reference, and this should tell you exactly. In Exodus chapter 25, we will see why that's important. Okay, so, you know, and this was back when it was just the tabernacle, right? But it's the same thing. There was still the same divisions, holy place, most holy place with the tabernacle. There was the same divisions in Solomon's temple. There was the holy place and the most holy place separated by a curtain. The high priest only went into the most holy place once a year, okay? So, anyways, Exodus chapter 25, verse 21. So, God talking to Moses, okay? And look what God says to Moses. We'll read verses 21 and 22. of Exodus 25. And thou shalt put the mercy seat above the above upon the ark, and in the ark thou shalt put the testimony that I shall give thee, and there I will meet with thee, and I will commune with thee from above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubims which are upon the ark of the testimony, of all things which I will give thee in commandment unto the children of Israel. Wow. Okay. So I hope you can, hope you're seeing how this all ties together and why it's so important. Because God tells Moses that put the mercy seat here, the ark, and I will meet you and I will commune with you from above the mercy seat between the cherubims, which are upon the ark of the testimony. Where is that? The most holy place. What is that called? The oracle. So God told Moses, I will meet you at the oracle, and I will speak to you and commune with you. What did he say? I will meet with you and I will commune with you at the oracle. And, you know, this was, this happened other times too. You know, the high priest had a breastplate and they had something called an Urim and Thummim. And many people and commentators and scholars disagree as to what it was, because there's not really a detailed description as to exactly what it was. But that doesn't matter. Point is that they used it to communicate with God. And where did they? At the oracle of God. Now, they wouldn't go in the most holy place because they weren't allowed to. In fact, they could die. So they could stand in the holy place and talk to God in the most holy place where the oracle is. But people would ask the high priest. They would ask the priest questions. And then they would consult God from the oracle. And that happened multiple times. But the point is, you know, in the Old Testament, this was called, they had to go to the oracle of God to commune with God, to hear God's voice, to have God talk to them. Usually there was a representative, right, that God would talk to, like Moses, and then he would talk to the people. Because the people didn't even want to hear God talk. Remember when he came on Mount Sinai and they were scared? They're like, don't ever do that again. You just let him talk to you and then leave us out of it. Okay? So usually there was a representative. But people communed with God and received the word of God directly from God at the oracle. Now, if you can see the significance of that, the Bible refers to the Bible, to the scriptures, as the oracles of God. What does that tell you? You should view the scriptures the same way that they viewed the oracle back then, the most holy place. In the sense that that is where they went to hear the voice of God. And they treated it with reverence. We want to talk about the attitude that they had towards that. Do you know what kind of reverence they had? Respect and the fear of God when it came to the oracle, to the most holy place? And if the Bible refers to the scriptures as that, shouldn't we have the same attitude towards the scriptures as they did towards the oracle back then? And we have the completed canon of scripture we can hold in our hands. But sadly, even many professing Christians just treat it as if it's no big deal. It's the Bible, yeah. It's good. But really, what is the hard attitude? Is it to that degree that they had with the oracle back then? We should really think about that. Now, I got a few more scriptures I'm going to read to you, and then we're going to wrap it up. This is going to help you to think about this a little bit more. So one more reference to the oracle is And the added proper attitude is 2 Samuel chapter 16, verse 23. 2 Samuel 16, 23. Quick. Almost there. 2 Samuel 16, 23. And the counsel of Ahithophel, which he counseled in those days, was as if a man had inquired at the oracle of God. So was all the counsel of Ahithophel, both with David and with Absalom. Okay, so the reason that this passage, this verse is so important is that, you know, Ahithophel's counsel, it's talking about the attitude that the people had towards Ahithophel and his counsel that he gave. And the Bible says they viewed his counsel as if a man had inquired at the oracle of God. Okay, so the comparison is made and saying the attitude they had towards his counsel was as if they had counseled at the oracle of God. And this shows that the attitude that they had. And the attitude was an attitude of reverence and respect. If he said something, if Ahithophel said something back then, they listened. They respected it. They had reverence. They didn't take it lightly. They treated it as if it was coming from the oracle of God. And so, thinking that just shows the attitude that they had towards the oracle of God. And it kind of gives us an idea of the attitude we should have towards Scripture. And then I'm going to wrap this up with a few scriptures that go along with this theme, okay? So, first one is Isaiah chapter 66, verse 2. Isaiah 66, verse 2. For all those things hath my hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. That's the attitude I'm talking about. God looks to those that tremble at his word. And you know, this isn't the only time that the Bible says that in regards to the word of God. I'm going to show you some more. Ezra 9:4. Ezra 9:4. Ezra 9:4 says, then were assembled unto me everyone that trembled at the words of the God of Israel. Everyone that trembled at the word of God. Here's another one. Psalm 119, 161. Psalm 119, 161. Princes have persecuted me without a cause, but my heart standeth in awe of thy word. My heart standeth in awe of thy word. Trembling at the word of God, in awe at the word of God, because it's the oracles of God, right? And we got one more, Psalm 138, verse 2. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Magnified the word above all thy name. That's how God wants you to view the word of God. He shows you how he has magnified it above his name. And you should be in awe of it, and you should tremble at the word of God. As if what? As if you were consulting at the oracle of God, the most holy place. That's the way it should be. And you know, the Bible says in Hebrews that Jesus made a way for us into the holiest of all by his blood. And so we can pray to God, we can come boldly to the throne of grace. But when we're talking about the Word of God, it's called the oracles of God for a reason. That phrase isn't just used and repeated multiple times, four times in the New Testament for no reason. It's not by accident. Oh, here's another phrase God's just going to use to call the Word of God. No, it's using it so you make that connection to the oracle in the Old Testament and the attitude that they had towards it, which is trembling at it in awe of the Word of God. And to wrap this up, I think that people, professing Christians need to take the Word of God more seriously. I think that they underestimate the importance of it and the power of it and the necessity of it and the seriousness of it. And I don't think that they view it the right way that they should, with the right attitude, as if they're the oracles of God. It's taken lightly, right? Because sometimes that happens when we have, it's too easy to access things, right? You know, back in the day in church history, when Christians were persecuted brutally and chased through the wilderness and mountains, they would hide scripture in cakes sometimes. They would smuggle it into different countries. They would get burnt at the stake for translating it. And so because they suffered so much for it and it was harder to get it, I think they appreciated it a lot more. But now, since it's so easy to get it anywhere, there is a lack of appreciation and reverence and of the attitude that we should have towards it. So, that's pretty much it. We should view the scriptures, as it says, as the oracles of God, as it was the oracle of God, the most holy place where we commune with God. We don't have to go to a temple or a tabernacle right now. We can go to this book right here. Right here, King James Bible. We can go right here and commune with God, hear the voice of God. You want to hear the voice of God? Read the Word of God. It's that simple. It's that simple. Okay, so that's it. Thank you for watching. God bless you. Have a good day.